So today is Ekadasi. Ekadasi Vrata today. Chant the holy names of the Lord. It's a good day for increasing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says Ekadasi is the mother of devotion. It's one of the most auspicious days of the month. There's two in each month. And it's meant for increasing our hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord and decreasing bodily activities as much as possible. So it's a great opportunity for spiritual advancement, reducing eating and sleeping and increasing hearing and chanting. Okay, so Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 26, text number 31, chapters entitled Fundamental Principles of Material Nature. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Egoism in the mode of passion produces two kinds of senses. The senses for acquiring knowledge and the senses of action. The senses of action depend on the vital energy, and the senses for acquiring knowledge depend on the intelligence. Purport. This is also a long purport. It has been explained in the previous verses that mind is the product of egoism and goodness, and that the function of the mind is accepting and rejecting according to desire. And here, intelligence is said to be the product of ego and passion. That is the distinction between mind and intelligence. Mind is a product of egoism and goodness, and intelligence is a product of egoism and passion. The desire to accept something and reject something is a very important factor of the mind. Since mind is a product of the mode of goodness, it is fixed upon the Lord of the mind, Aniruddha. Then the mind can be changed to Krishna consciousness. It is stated by Narottam Das Thakur that we always have desires. Desires cannot be stopped. But if we transfer our desires to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is the perfection of life. As the desire is transferred to lording it over material nature, it becomes contaminated by matter. Desire has to be purified. In the beginning, this purification process has to be carried out by the order of the spiritual master. Since the spiritual master knows how the disciple desires can be transferred into Krishna consciousness. As far as intelligence is concerned, it is clearly stated here that it is a product of egoism and passion. By practice, one comes to the point of the mode of goodness. And by surrendering or fixing the mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes a very great personality, or a Mahatma. In Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly said, Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha. Such a great soul is very rare. In this verse, it is clear that both kinds of senses, the senses for acquiring knowledge and the senses for action, are products of egoism in the mode of passion. And because the sense organs for activity and for acquiring knowledge require energy, the vital energy or life energy is also produced by egoism and the mode of passion. We actually can see, therefore, that those who are very passionate can improve in material acquisition very quickly. It is recommended in the Vedic scriptures that if one wants to encourage a person in acquiring material possessions, one should also encourage him in sex life. We naturally find that those who are addicted to sex life are also materially advanced because sex life, or passionate life, is the impetus for the material advancement of civilization. For those who want to make spiritual advancement, there is almost no existence in the mode of passion. Only the mode of goodness is prominent. We find that those who are engaged in Krishna consciousness are materially poor. But one who has eyes can see who is the greater. Although he appears to be materially poor, a person in Krishna consciousness is not actually a poor man. But the person who has no taste for Krishna consciousness and appears to be very happy with material possessions is actually poor. Persons infatuated by material consciousness are very intelligent in discovering things for material comforts, but they have no access to understanding the spirit soul and spiritual life. Therefore, if anyone wants to advance in spiritual life, he has to come back to the platform of purified desire, the purified desire for devotional service. As stated in the Narada Pancharatra, engagement in the service of the Lord, when the senses are purified in Krishna consciousness, is called pure devotion. Translation once again. Please repeat. Egoism in the mode of passion produces two kinds of senses. The senses for acquiring knowledge and the senses of action. The senses of action depend on the vital energy, and the senses for acquiring knowledge depend on intelligence. Om Agyan Timirandasya Genarjana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stakitam Yena Bhutalai Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tatati Swapadatikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Srivasati Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, fundamental principles of material nature. Here we're explaining how the senses are getting their, you know, power of action. The senses are the active principles in the body, which allow the body to function. There are activities for acquiring knowledge, and there's activities for action. There's five senses for acquiring knowledge and six senses for action. Altogether, 11 senses. And then the mind. The mind. The mind is the director of the senses. When the mind is situated in material life, it directs the senses for acquiring knowledge and producing activities to fulfill the needs of the body based on trying to find satisfaction and enjoyment through the senses. That is material life. The mind is considered the king of all the senses. And when the mind is directed towards the material energy, then the mind is accepting and rejecting on the basis of what pleases the mind and senses, what pleases the body. And this is material life. The mind has two functions, actually three. It has two categories of functions. It thinks, it feels, and it wills. If you understand psychology, sometimes people go to school and take classes in psychology, and they teach you so many philosophical principles. But actually, when it comes right down to the essence of the mind's function, it thinks about something, it gets a feel for that object that it thinks about, and then it acts. Or it doesn't act, depending on the nature of the feeling. And that's the second part of the mind. It rejects or accepts on the basis of whether it likes or doesn't like. That's pretty much psychology 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. That's about it. If you know that, then you know exactly everything the mind is doing. So, directing the mind towards the material energy means that the mind is accepting and rejecting on what pleases the senses, what pleases the mind also. And in that way, the living entity is becoming entangled in the material energy, simply by accepting and rejecting based on what pleases the body and mind. That's material life. It just sums it up. The body and senses become the main focus of activity, and the mind becomes the main focus of activity, and the senses carry it out, carry out the desires of the mind. Pretty easy to understand. And it's also important to understand, too, by taking the same mind and directing it towards spiritual things, towards Krishna consciousness, then one purifies the senses, and then one's mind becomes situated in Krishna consciousness. That's all. So basically, the whole practice of Krishna consciousness is based on keeping the mind in the right direction. That's the whole thing. The mind is the source of all problems. The mind is the source of elevation. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, a person must elevate themselves by the mind, not degrade himself. The mind is a friend of the conditioned soul and the enemy as well. And then Krishna goes on to speak the next verse. He says, when the mind is controlled, the mind is the best friend, and when the mind is, you know, uncontrolled, it is its worst enemy. So Krishna pretty much sums everything up, and the basis of life is simply keeping the mind connected to the, you know, spiritual energy. Actually, there's no enemy or friend outside of your mind. When Prahlad Maharaj, he was preaching to his father, Hiranyakasipu, and he was preaching about the glories of Lord Vishnu. Hiranyakasipu said, you're siding with my enemy. Vishnu is my enemy. And Prahlad Maharaj said, Jai Sri Sri Gaurinathai Ki Jai. Prahlad Maharaj said, my dear father, your only enemy is your own mind. He was talking about friends and enemies. Prahlad Maharaj said, friends and enemies, it's all a mental creation. We create friends and enemies. We create likes and dislikes. We create everything based on the nature of the mind. But the mind is conditioned. The mind is a conditioned element. So the mind is associating with the material energy from time immemorial. So when devotees engage in devotional service and they try to purify their mind and senses, sometimes they experience more difficulty. I used to be a nice person until I became a devotee. Now look at me, I'm a mess. My mind is so wild, I don't know what to do. Well, it says that, you know, when you allow the mind to do anything, it seems like everything's okay, but then when you try to control it, then it starts to fight back. And then controlling the mind is a difficult thing because the mind is used to not being controlled, and the mind is used to directing its energy towards the material energy, the sense objects. So, therefore, the process of Krishna consciousness is there. So one of the ways is not to contemplate the objects of sense gratification. Krishna explains that in Bhagavad Gita, Dayate Vishayam Pum Samteshu Sangatsa Jayate Sangatsa Jayate Kamam Kama Krodha Vijayate Krodha Bhavati Sammoham Sammoham Sriti Bri Brahman Sriti Brahm Sabudina Sabunina Sapanashiti. Krishna says, while contemplating the objects of sense gratification, one develops attachment for them. From some attachment comes lust. From lust, when lust is unfulfilled, there's anger. And then from anger comes delusion. One becomes, you know, what we say, disoriented. From delusion, bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. And without intelligence, one is back down in the material energy again. It all simply starts by contemplating the object of the sense. These two verses are very important. When you see your mind contemplating the objects of sense gratification, just stop it. Don't think about it. And just direct the mind back to the spiritual energy, to the holy name, to the form of the deity, to absorption and devotional service. Sometimes devotees allow their mind to dwell on such objects. when you allow your mind to dwell on samsa objects, you start getting a feeling for that. The next stage is thinking and then feeling. Feeling starts to arise by the thing after the thinking stage. And when the feeling stage starts to become strong, and then it becomes harder to pull the mind back. And then one may act or say something. So therefore, one has to be always, it says that a devotee watches his mind to make sure that the mind is engaged in devotional service or thinking about Krishna. There's three ways to control the mind. And Prabhupada talks about this. The first way is, of course, to use the mind and senses fully in the service of the Lord. But to come to that stage is very difficult. So that is a process. So another way to control the mind is to always meditate on the instructions of the spiritual master. That is one of the important ways to control the mind. Think about the instructions of the spiritual master in every situation one is in. And then one can concentrate on what is the proper, activity, what is the proper mood. So these two, and then there's one, and this is an interesting one. Prabhupada says, another way to control the mind is to work for the welfare of others. The mind has a tendency to dwell on itself. Am I okay? Am I getting this? Is this okay? It becomes self-centered. So taking the mind off the oneself and using the mind to think about how to serve others, how to serve Krishna, how to serve Krishna's devotees. Even in the material world, people who are generally happy by material standards are in that category. They did a survey in America finding out what type of people are the most happiest people. And they concluded that the happiest people have two characteristics about them. One is they're always active. They're busy. They have a full schedule. They're not lazy. And the second thing is they're always thinking how to help others. They're always doing something for somebody else. Those are the happy. This is from my material, Gallup poll. So, in the same way, devotees can also do that. Keep yourself nicely engaged in Krishna consciousness and think how to serve Krishna, think how to serve Krishna's devotees. Of course, we also have to, do what is necessary in our own spiritual life. But you'll find that that's very little when you actually think about it. Generally, we think about ourselves too much. Sometimes people, they ask, what is humility? Give me a definition of humility. There's one phrase. Humility means to think, not to think. What is it? How's that go? Not to think yourself less, but to think less of yourself. In other words, not to think yourself so little, but to stop thinking about yourself so much. Mind's always thinking. Is this okay? Is that okay? This okay? This okay? This okay? It's always trying to figure out what's okay and what's not okay. But you just focus on the positive, and you'll find that the negative more or less disappears through the positive action in devotional service. So that's the nature of the mind. It's always accepting, rejecting, basing on what is pleasing. But we accept and reject on what is based on what is pleasing in devotional service. Sanatana Goswami says, devotees should accept things that are favorable for devotional service and reject things that are unfavorable. So the process of accepting and rejecting also goes on for a devotee. But the focus is what's favorable for Krishna consciousness and what's unfavorable. And that is the process of it. But the mind is always a rascal. In very advanced stages of devotional service, one sometimes will fall down because they allow their mind to sometimes be uncontrolled, or they get careless in their spiritual life, and they start contemplating sense objects and not really see the danger in contemplating sense objects. It's very dangerous to contemplate sense objects. very dangerous, because then a feeling develops, and when that feeling develops, one can also, you know, lose one's Krishna consciousness, and then it becomes hard to bring the mind back. So when you see your mind thinking about something material or some sense object, sense gratification, just stop it. That's all. Don't. Sometimes devotees want to analyze negativity. Don't try to analyze negativity. Just because the more you analyze what is not, the more you become pulled in by that energy. You should analyze what is positive, or focus on what is positive. Because even to think negative of something negative means that that negative energy is also growing too. It's like some people, oh, how horrible that was. Oh, that's so terrible. Oh, horrible. Oh, it's so terrible. Oh, horrible. Oh. And they get absorbed in a negative. And then, you know, it's just like they're fried. They drag themselves down in the negative, just like people who complain a lot. They're always complaining, always complaining, this ain't right, this ain't right, this ain't right, this ain't right. Well, what's right? Well, give me time to think. You can think about what's wrong and you can think about what's right. But if you think about what's right, a lot of times what's wrong it goes away, because actually reality is consciousness. Sometimes we see, it's like if you see a devotee, you can think about them, you can find some fault in them, but you can also find good qualities in them. If you think about the good qualities, then your mind becomes Krishna conscious. If you think about the faults, then you develop a critical mentality and you're not happy. So that's the nature of the mind. The mind has to be always carefully controlled and engaged in devotional service. Prabhupada spoke a lot about that in Srimad Bhagavatam, especially in two sections, the sections of King Rahugana and Judd Bart. There's a whole section in the chapter 11, I think, of Canto 5, I think verses, can't remember the verses, all the way up to the last verse in that chapter. Papa talks a lot about the mind. And again, in the sixth chapter of the fifth canto, Prabhupada gives three or four classes, plus the purports that he gave in Bhagavatam on the nature of the mind. So the mind says that, he quoted Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati many times. Prabhupada said, if you want to control your mind, then when you get up in the morning, you should beat your mind with shoes 100 times. And beat your mind with broomstick at night 100 times. And then Bhakti Siddhanta says, then you can control your mind. So one devotee actually did that. That's not recommended. But the idea is that in these morning hours and in the evening hours, the mind becomes more difficult to control. So we have to keep the mind. And in the morning hours, first thing you do when you get up, what do? You think about, you know, first thing we do is say, Jai Shri Krishna, or Jai Shri Shri Gaudiya. Chant the names of the worshipful lords. And then, yes, focus the mind on Krishna. The first thing I do is I turn on the tape of Prabhupada chanting bhajans. And then immediately I hear Prabhupada's. Because in the morning, the mind is all ready to think about something. And it can think about anything. You know, immediately, and then just keep that mind until you get to your japa, you know, focused, and then begin your chanting. And then your chanting will be much more easier. So we have to keep that mind, especially in the morning hours. If you let the mind go in the morning, it becomes very hard to control the rest of the day. Very hard to control. And in the evening, too, because the mode of ignorance is more prominent in the evening, that we usually end the day with classes and or just like reading Krishna book or just hearing some tape, and then the mind settles into resting, and then when it gets up, it's also in a better state of consciousness. So we have to be very, very careful to practice these principles to keep the mind connected and in the spiritual energy. Because a little inattention and one can fall down. It doesn't take much. It just takes a little bit of inattention. In carelessness, one can commit an offense, one can say something that they're sorry for, or one can do something that causes a bad reaction. Be very, very careful. Therefore, the Prabhupada said devotees are conscious and cautious. Conscious and cautious. Not that we have to be so nervous, can't even function. Like, some people just can't even walk because they're so nervous of doing the wrong thing. That's not Krishna consciousness. We should just be, you know, always watch the mind and make sure the mind is acting in the proper way or focused in the proper direction. And again, the best way is to keep the mind engaged in devotional service. Serving the devotees, serving the Lord, hearing and chanting. And then the mind becomes purified. And then actually it becomes easier and easier to control the mind. And then when one is in association with sense objects, then one is not attracted, or one is not repulsed. It says that sense objects are stumbling blocks for the aspiring, you know, Vaishnava who's practicing Krishna consciousness. They see a sense object and they become attached or averse to that object. But after a while, the objects of the senses are just there. They're no longer sources of attachment or aversion. They see the objects as Krishna's energy to be used in Krishna's service. Like that. They no longer become attracted or averse to the objects of the senses. Because the mind is somewhat purified due to its association with the spiritual energy. With that. So this is the process, keeping that mind engaged in devotional service. The mind engaged in the mode of ignorance is destructive. When the mind's in the mode of ignorance, it destroys oneself and others. Intoxication, sleep, madness, illusion, inertia, so many things. These are the destructive qualities of the mind in the mode of ignorance. In the mode of passion, hard struggle for existence, hard struggle in order to acquire material things, to enjoy sense gratification. This is the mode of passion. And also, the mode of passion is also the mode of creativity. People who are very much in the mode of passion can also be very creative. You see, the materialist can do so many wonderful things by material standards because their minds are so, and their intelligence are so active to manipulate the material energy that they're always getting ideas how to do that and become very creative. So the mind in the mode of ignorance is destructive. The mind in the mode of passion is selfish. The mode of passion is selfish. It's self-centered. And the mind in the mode of goodness is knowledge, illumination, giving in charity, humility, tolerance, patience, respect for others, knowledge of scripture, what else? Cleanliness, truthfulness. These are all qualities of the mode of goodness. The mind in the mode of goodness is selfless. It acts for the welfare of Krishna. It acts for the welfare of others. So Srila Prabhupada and also Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita explains that one must come to the mode of goodness in order to practice Krishna consciousness effectively. Now be careful, the mode of goodness looks like the mode of ignorance sometimes. The mode of ignorance looks like the mode of goodness sometimes. So if you, doesn't mean you have to use the mode of passion, or you have to be very active in order to get to the mind in the mode of goodness. If you're lazy and consider that goodness, it's not goodness. Because a person in the mode of goodness is very peaceful. They're not disturbed by, you know, the external environment. But a person in the mode of ignorance looks like very peaceful too, but his mind is just, you know, in the garbage. So we have to use the mode of passion. That means we have to use the mind and senses to engage in devotional service and purify our senses and activity, and then ultimately come to the mode of goodness. Of course, mode of passion in devotional service is not really the mode of passion. It's just that we're using whatever energy, intelligence we have, and we're using that in Krishna service. Therefore, a devotee generally should be engaged 24 hours a day in devotional service. This is the safe process of Krishna consciousness. Always somehow or other active in devotional service. Either hearing, chanting, reading, serving, or doing something connected with Krishna consciousness. As soon as we stop, and there's intervals, and then the mind comes in and starts to think, what do I need? What's this? What's that? What's this? What's that? What's this? What's that? And we just talk nonsense, or we waste time, or we just space out. Somebody one the other day did something, and he said, oh, I'm spaced out. I said, well, you're not allowed to be. It's not like being spaced out is authorized. It's not a form of authorized Krishna consciousness. It's not allowed. You know? If you space out while you're driving, it's dangerous. So there's also a certain thing. If you space out when you're worshiping the deity, it's also very dangerous. So, you know, the practice keeping the mind and senses engaged in devotional service. And rejecting things that are unfavorable and accepting things which are favorable for Krishna consciousness. And then the mind becomes purified, the intelligence then uses the mind to keep the mind connected to spiritual energy like that. So these are... It's a great subject, the nature of the mind. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita also what are some of the austerities of the mind. What are there's four austerities of the body, four austerities of speech, and four austerities of the mind. What are the four austerities of the mind? Who knows? Who knows one of them? Satisfaction. The austerity of the mind is to be satisfied. The mind's never satisfied. But to be satisfied is an austerity. You know? Twink, that whatever Krishna sends, that's nice. We make arrangements for our devotional service. We make arrangements to fulfill whatever we need. But whatever comes, we accept. And whatever doesn't come, maybe just like yesterday, I had an experience where I wanted to do something, accomplish something. And it didn't work. And so I was thinking, maybe I should keep trying. But then I can understand by the way it didn't work and so many other things, it just wasn't Krishna's arrangement. So I dropped it. So in the same way, we can be satisfied with whatever Krishna sends by way of devotional service. A materialist is never satisfied. In fact, their whole program is to get more because they're never satisfied with what they have. Satisfaction doesn't come with quantity. Satisfaction is a state of consciousness that comes when one is connected to the source. One is actually, you know, Krishna conscious. Then one can be satisfied. Whether you have a lot or you have a little doesn't matter. The question is, satisfaction comes when one is Krishna conscious. It's like we see the example of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. In his last stages on this planet, he was completely happy. He had no anxiety. In fact, he was preaching, and he was saying, this is some of the best experiences that I had in devotional service. But he's leaving his body, his body's falling apart, he's experiencing many times great pain, but still, he was satisfied in his devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, that was the main thing. All these other things were just there. You have to tolerate them. So when one is Krishna consciousness, or one should cultivate the mood of satisfaction, to be satisfied. Satisfied means to be simple. Devotees are simple. Simple. Okay, what's another austerity? Satisfaction, ladies? There's three more. Huh? That's one of the ways to control the mind. Looking for the welfare of others. Prabhupada talks about that. And it's an austerity of the mind. But Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita four austerities. Another one is simplicity. Actually, satisfaction and simplicity go together. To be simple. Simple. What do you need to be Krishna conscious? You need three things. The rest of whatever you have is simply for your service. But to be Krishna conscious, you need three things. Who knows what they are? That's pretty good. Yeah. Now, these are three things that are just that we actually do every day. The mercy of the... We need the mercy. That's for sure. And what... Huh? And, yeah, you need that. But there's certain activities that we have to do. We need the holy name. That's what we need. We need the mercy of the holy name. We need the Krishna. We need to chant Hare Krishna. That we need to do. Can't get around that. That's important. And what else we need? We need prasad. Prasadam has to be there. That's also another form of mercy. Prasadam and all. And what is the third one? Association of devotees. Association. In the proper mood, in the proper consciousness. So if you have association with devotees and the holy name and Krishna prasad, everything's extra. That's what it means to be simple. Because when you're happy, and when you're in association with devotees, yeah, generally you're happy when you have nice Vaishnava relationships. When the relationship with the Vaishnavas are so nice, then you're happy, and then you chant the holy name and you become more happy, and then you eat prasadam and you become even more happy. You hear the philosophy, you become more happy. Foundation is the devotee association. Not just being together, but being together in a Krishna conscious way. And whatever else you have, that's for your service. That's for your service. That's necessary too. But for our spiritual advancement, we need association, we need the holy name, we need prasadam, those three. In the mercy of them, so the three of us. That's simple, simplicity. What's an example of simplicity? I think of a story. There's so many stories about simplicity. Can't think of any. Okay, simplicity, satisfaction. What's another one? Nice, but it's not mentioned. That's very important. That's one of the most important qualities of a devotee is to forgive. In fact, that's the most important quality of a brahmana is to be forgiving. Gravity. That's an austerity of the mind, gravity. To contemplate Krishna consciousness, or to contemplate Krishna. The mind of a grave person is such that one cannot tell what they're thinking. One time, one devotee in New Vrindavan, he said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, there's one picture of you. I show it to my friends and they say, 'Oh, your spiritual master, he looks so sad.'" Prabhupada's like, "My God, you know." Prabhupada said, "That," and he showed the picture. Prabhupada, "That picture?" Prabhupada said, "That was one of my happiest moments in Krishna consciousness." Prabhupada had just taken sannyas. He was holding his dunda. You can't tell the mind of a person who is grave, although they appear externally to be very, the demeanor is something else, but inside they're actually thinking of Krishna. They're thinking about devotional service like that. So the devotee should practice gravity. Yeah. Gravity helps to control the mind. Helps to go deeper into the nature of about Krishna consciousness. It's important. You read something, think about it. Reread it, think about it again. Try to understand it. And there's one more. Can we get the Bhagavad Gita? I can't remember the last one. Satisfaction, simplicity, gravity. And oh. Satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purification of one's existence are the austerities of the mind. Keep the mind controlled and to purify one's existence. Okay, and Prabhupada gives a nice purport. Satisfaction of the mind can be attained only by taking the mind away from thoughts of sense gratification. The more we think of sense enjoyment, the more the mind becomes dissatisfied. That's a very important point. The more we think about sense enjoyment, because the senses, the objects of the senses cannot satisfy us. So we always become dissatisfied thinking about or trying to enjoy sense gratification. One should be straightforward in their dealings and thereby purify his existence. One should always speak, you know, straightforwardly, honestly, without duplicity, without being offensive. Okay, these are the austerities of the mind. Any questions? Hare Krishna. Yeah, vital energy. It's called the vital energy. When the vital... Yeah, the senses of action are six. The legs, the arms, the belly, genitals, and rectum. These are the six senses of action. Now, when the vital energy is low, when the energy in the body is low, these senses cannot function to their capacity. When the energy is up, then these senses become, you know, more stronger. So the vital energy is pretty much, you know, when the life airs. That's why people perform yoga, to balance the vital energy in the body, to get the air is moving throughout the body. Yoga helps to revitalize the energy in the body. Keeping exercise, devotees should exercise. If you keep good exercise like that, then it strengthens the vital energy also. That's why we dance. So we can get the, you know, the body. It's good health to dance, besides being a spiritual activity. There's one devotee in America. He's in America. He travels around. He dances every kirtan. Nisringadev, Tulsi, every kirtan. He starts when the kirtan goes and he stops when the kirtan ends. Sometimes he keeps going even after the kirtan stops. He just dances. He dances all the time. What's his name? Bhakta Avatar. And he went to the doctors one day for a physical checkup. The doctor looked at him and said, "You have the strongest heart I've ever seen. You know, I've tested many hearts. Your heart is so strong." He dances all the time. His health is great. Want good health? Just dance. Sometimes it hurts at the beginning, you know. It's just like, oh. Because the muscles are not, you know, accustomed to moving in that direction. But after a while, you start dancing. You know, don't dance, you know, too crazy. But dancing is good. It's good for the health, good for the vital energies. You know, the yogis want to keep their vital energy up by, they do pranayama and they do hatha yoga. That keeps the vital energy strong. And the senses and mind become clear when the vital energy is strong. When the vital energy is down, and the senses and the mind also don't, you know, function to their capacity like that. So as you get older, the vital energy gets weaker. You know, the body starts losing its vital energy. Therefore, one should always, you know, Prabhupada wanted devotees to keep good health. He always signed his letters, "Your ever well wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I hope this meets you in the best of health. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada." Always, every letter about health. So health is important, and exercise is necessary. When the vital energy is not working properly, then the body gets tired all the time. The mind is spaced out. You know, the senses can't function to their capacity like that. And then the senses of knowledge of requiring, you know, that's the ears, the eyes, and nose, the tongue, and the sense of touch. These are the five senses for acquiring knowledge. So together the body has 11 senses. How many devotees exercise? Oh, pretty good. That's pretty good. It's good today. Yeah, you look really bright. I can tell you exercise. It's effulgent. Yeah, if you keep good exercise. Yeah, of course, Krishna consciousness makes you effulgent also. But if exercise is necessary. We get lazy. Of course, dancing is good. And sometimes devotees do hatha yoga. And sometimes Tai Chi, or just take a walk, take japa walks like that. It's good. The mind remains more clear when we exercise. Okay. The physical part of Krishna consciousness. If you don't take care of the body, I mean, if you neglect the body, then it's hard to practice Krishna consciousness. So we don't overindulge in the body, but we don't neglect it either. So we have to keep the body healthy or try. Prabhupada wrote a letter in 1972 to one devotee. His name was Dhananjaya. He said, "Health, sadhana, and service. In that order." That's a powerful statement. There's only one letter like that. Keep your health, and you can do your sadhana nicely. Then you can, if you do your sadhana nicely, then your service is stronger. So everybody should take care of their health. Best way to take care of your health is, of course, not to eat too much, not to eat too little. Nice exercise and fresh air. You got a lot of good fresh air out here. That's one thing. It's good. It's good fresh air. Very good fresh air. You know, I sometimes travel in cities, or I stay in places where there's no fresh air, and it's really hot. You can feel it. You feel tired all the time. You get a tendency to get a little lazy. Fresh air. And fresh Krishna consciousness. Any other questions? Okay, we can stop here. Okay, thank you very much. Shiva Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you.